First, we turn to the issue of wildlife clashing with urban dwellers. The drought is stressing wildlife, including hungry and thirsty bears. That means more Nevadans are seeing black bears up close as they search for resources. Nevada biologists have already captured and released 15 bears since the beginning of this month, which is, coincidentally, Bear Awareness Month. Good timing. Nevada's Think Like a Bear campaign was launched to help bears and humans live a little more harmoniously. Nobody better to explain how exactly a bear thinks than conservationist and author Chris Morgan. He's often referred to as the bear guy, and he joins us now by Skype from London. Chris Morgan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
You have characterized bears as intelligent animals. Tell us where they are on the spectrum, how smart they are compared to other animals like apes or dogs, for instance.
Oh, they're very high up there. They're at least equivalent with some of the highest functioning mammals on the planet. So there are some animal behaviorists that put them just behind primates and whales and dolphins, a close third. And, you know, from my experiences being around them, I tend to agree. It's a super high level of intelligence that comes across in many different ways, and especially when it comes to finding food, which is what they're really good at.
Yeah, we've heard stories of bears breaking into cars and houses over and over again. How do they learn to do that?
You know, they seem to have this memory, but more than a memory for the types of foods and where they can find them, it's a memory that enables them to learn in one place and then over time sort of adapt that knowledge and apply it in a completely other location. So they can learn the whereabouts of berries in one place and learn that they're good and sugary and allow them to gain weight and when to find them, but they take that knowledge and find similar places elsewhere. So the same thing happens when they find a source of food that's human, whether it's bird feed or garbage or compost or livestock occasionally. Thankfully, doesn't happen very often, but they seem to be able to learn those things very rapidly and retain them and then apply them in different places and even at different times of the year. And I think it's one reason for the bears having become so successful. You know, they know what they're doing. They're good at being bears. And when it comes down to it, they are just calorie-seeking machines, really. And, you know, I was thinking about it just before I got on the chat with you, Dave, and it's almost like imagining yourself walking into a grocery store and looking for the highest calorie food products in there and eating them, all of them, and only them. And it's a stage that these bears go into. It's called hyperphagia. And it means literally excessive eating. And this happens a bit further on into the year, close to the fall, when these bears are sensing the urgency prior to denning, and they have to put as much weight on as possible. And right now, it's too early to be hyperphagia, but it's certainly a time of year when they're looking to put on weight, which is pretty much every time of year.
Yeah, pretty much. Is it safe to assume that most conflicts between bears and humans are a result of the bears searching for food and other resources?
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's when they come unstuck. I think that, you know, most of the conflicts that are associated with bears anywhere in the world are a result of them getting into food, and it's mostly a garbage attraction. And, you know, I live in Washington State, and we've got about 15, 20,000 black bears there. So a lot more than you have in Nevada, but I know that your bear numbers are increasing and perhaps the numbers of people are increasing in bear country. So it's really a case of sort of starting out on the right foot, you know, and educating people and educating bears at the same time so that hopefully there can be a coexistence there. Because really it's just a case of keeping garbage out of the way of bears and making sure that bird feeders are out of reach or not used during the summer when the birds don't need them as much.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that electric fences are used. And I know that the state officials there use Karelian bear dogs, which is a great way to sort of give a bear a sort of an emotional spank so that it changes its mind about behaving badly. Because the last thing we want really is bears behaving badly, because it doesn't end well for people or for bears.
Yeah. Now the other wrinkle with all of this has been the drought in the American West. Mountain lakes and streams are drying up. Bears are wandering. Some have wandered into the Lake Tahoe area. So what advice do you give to wildlife officials who are charged with maintaining the peace?
You know, it's really tricky. You see spikes in strange behavior of bears, meaning bears accessing human food sources, garbage, hummingbird feeders, bird seed, compost, fruit trees. You see spikes in those when the natural food sources are depleted, so the drought definitely doesn't help. the wildlife officials know this, but relocating a bear that has become habituated and then food conditioned to human food is a really tricky thing. It's very difficult to make sure that a bear doesn't come back to that same place and location in order to access food again, because it's learnt the way, it's the grocery store factor. It's learnt the whereabouts of that food. It knows it's an easy reward, and it comes back for more whenever it can. So it's tough to take a bear far enough away for it not to return to that source of food. It's a really strong drive, almost unimaginable for a human being to know how strong that drive is for a bear.
So what happens if I'm out camping or hiking and I come face to face with a bear?
Depending upon the bear and the location, they really would rather stay away from people and hightail it and run. If you do see bears, always keep a safe distance. Never run from them. The threat from a female with cubs is always inflated and exaggerated when it comes to black bears. So the idea is, don't panic. Just identify yourself as human. Put your hands out. Stand up. Make sure the bear knows that you're there so you're not surprising it. And just let the bear pass on through. And most of the time, it's a habituated bear. We got a few grizzly bears further to the north where I live, and it's a different matter dealing with a grizzly bear. But black bears, certainly this high degree of respect and distance, and not to panic.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, I'd mentioned that Nevada bears, like other wildlife species, are suffering from the drought. What are some solutions for protecting bears and other wildlife who are struggling to locate resources?
That's a great question. It's a difficult one to answer, though. I mean, nature goes through these natural fluctuations in peaks and troughs of food availability. And in my part of the world, in Washington State, berries are a hugely important staple resource for bears every year. And if they fail because of weather or natural cycles in the berry crop, it really has an impact on bears coming into town or not. So it's kind of down to nature, these peaks and troughs of what's available for a black bear in the wild and whether they come down into human country. But the years that they do come into human country, I think that we perhaps owe them, how to say it, we owe them the privilege of being ready for them and respectful for them, respectful towards them. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean just making sure that you don't put garbage out too early, you know, keep it under lock and key until it's time for collection, and using electric fences around apiaries and fruit trees. There are simple ways to keep bears and humans safe, and I think that we owe each other that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned in introducing you that a bear was recently euthanized in Nevada for having repeatedly killed livestock. When is euthanization the only answer for managing a bear?
What might be a rule for one bear might not apply to another bear. There might not be a repeat offender in one bear, but another bear might repeat offends, might continuously, repeatedly offend and run into trouble as a result. And, you know, I think the authorities have a tricky job on their hands trying to figure out when euthanasia is appropriate and when it's not. Certainly there is potentially a pattern of a bear that becomes habituated and then food conditioned, as I described earlier, taking that further and becoming so used to eating food around humans that, yes, they could become a threat to human beings. And that's a call that the authorities need to make, but it's a tough one at times.
Chris Morgan is often referred to as the bear guy. He is an author and conservationist. Chris Morgan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.